Levin was rocked by a series of strong earthquakes which were felt all around the lower North Island. Our daughter Jennifer, who lives in Lower Hutt, has a neighbour who's a volcanologist. And she gathered the children of the street together to help them understand what was happening with these earthquakes. And I thought the way she did it was really quite innovative. She put together a cake with layers, looks like bits of jam or something in between that allows it to move, and the lava coming up from the bottom and spilling out the top. So I thought that was really good. It's quite frightening, very sobering, when the world, which we tend to think of as being rock solid, begins to sort of move. And you get a sense of the power of the plates beneath our feet as they move. As a church, we've been on a journey through a world that has been severely shaken. COVID-19 has exposed fault lines in society, and it's given our world a very real seismic shake-up. And it's exposed faults within our society. Things have moved on a scale that we are perhaps yet to really be able to grasp. The financial markets have moved, medical services strained, employment, tourism, relationships between nations, between people, faith and governments, breakdown in law and order. All of these have been moving like tectonic plates, ripping at the fabric of our society. Kevin Rudd, the former Australian Prime Minister, has said the world is sliding towards anarchy as the United States abandons its global leadership position in the COVID-19 crisis. And there has been a huge loss of life. My heart has been broken many times, especially when I've seen news footage of mass graves being prepared. And at times I've felt this is just all too much. I couldn't bear to look, and I couldn't look away. And I'm sure that, like me, there have been times for you when you've had prayers on your lips and tears in your eyes, thinking about what is happening in and around our world. On top of this, the inhumane and utterly senseless death of George Floyd, his life choked out from him. And despite the pleas of bystanders, a policeman continuing to kneel on his neck. And so all around the USA and all over the world, people have been gathering and protesting. Fault lines have ruptured in law and order. It's broken down, looters stealing, others vandalizing the cities, communities in which they live. If COVID-19 was the initial shock that rocked the world, then we are continuing to have all these aftershocks, and our society feels so fragile, as if triggered by blatant inhumanity, pent-up social pressure has risen from the USA, almost like a tsunami of protest against racism. One American pastor, Mark Turman, wrote, "We're grappling with two viruses, one new, the other very old." And the actions of President Trump to stand outside St. John's Church holding up a Bible has been widely condemned. The Washington Post had a headline, "Trump desecrates the character of St. John's Church for foul political purposes." And at one moment to speak about law and order, and in the next to use the strong arm of the law to violently cause disorder among peaceful protesters, that's not presidential, that's dictatorial. And then to rub salt into the wound, the purpose of this was so that the president could use the symbols of our faith to legitimize and speak into his election campaign. As many have been lamenting, if only he had used God's word to speak peace to those who were protesting and to lead them to the church, to bend the knee and to pray together for the situation. But sadly, it was simply a mere photo opportunity. And we too in New Zealand are shaken. COVID-19 continues to have this negative effect upon us as a church and as a nation. We too feel the sense of injustice the world feels. We too are tentatively taking steps to resume life in a COVID world. We too are concerned about health, employment, and businesses that are failing. We're concerned about the well-being of people in our society. For those who are subject to domestic violence and those struggling to feed their families. As a sort of very small way our church can help, as Diana was saying, we're going to try and get some food together because there are people who are in very real need at the moment, and perhaps we can help just a little. I don't think it's any coincidence that towards the end of last year, God inspired me to focus on this series we have in Hebrews called Greater Than, and that it would be for this time in our church life. We've begun thinking about the themes of this book, which focus on the supremacy of Jesus. Greater than angels, greater than Moses, greater than the law, greater than the sacrificial system. And I suppose the question arises for you, as it does for me, is Jesus greater than COVID-19? Is Jesus greater than the turmoil that is going on in our world at this present time? And how are we to make sense about what we believe about Jesus and what we see unfolding around us? And so, as I said before, tonight we have online Zoom converse. We will try and bring these things together and think about them a little. So, 7:30, join us. There can be no trite or easy answers to these questions, but they do deserve our consideration. They do deserve that we take time to think them through and to begin to wrestle with them from a Christian perspective. The world is suffering. We know that suffering isn't over. There could be a possible second wave of COVID-19. A vaccine may be many months away. In the last week, we have had more people laid off work in New Zealand and employment growing. Is Jesus greater? The fault of racism in the USA is not easily repaired. And here in New Zealand, we have our own issues, from honoring the treaty, thinking of the Dawn raids, the mosque shootings in Christchurch, and the recent racist response towards people of Chinese origins when the COVID virus first began to appear in New Zealand. And while the Bible doesn't answer all these questions that we may have, it does provide a framework to help us understand these big issues, even though we don't have the answers that we would like. My point today is simply this. Christians are not immune from suffering. And so we too have to be able to think this through from a faith perspective. You see, if you think we are immune from suffering because we are Christians, then every accident, every loss of a job, every financial hardship, every health issue, every breakdown of a relationship, every death will be a challenge to your faith. To address this with part of the answer, I'm focusing on a passage of Scripture that is not easy to read or dwell on or listen to. There are some wonderful verses before it, and we love those verses, and there are some wonderful verses after it, and we love those verses as well. But in a time like today, it's helpful for us to dwell for a moment in the difficult places of Scripture. Before I do that, I want to draw your attention to one of the favorite words of the person who wrote Hebrews, and that is the word therefore. We find 13 therefores in this book. Therefore acts as a hinge between the greatness of Christ, all that we're understanding about Jesus, and acts as a hinge into our lives and the practicalities of the things that we are faced with and the way that we live. The writer of Hebrews is not highlighting the supremacy of Jesus as an abstract theory. Rather, the greatness of Jesus is being shared so that it shapes our lives and encourages us and lifts us. The greatness of Jesus is explained so that we may understand that when we're making decisions about how we live day to day. And so we read, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity. The big issues of our day require us to move beyond the simple things of the faith, beyond the basic things that we begin to talk about, because these are difficult issues and they do require thought. Not everything in the Bible is easy to understand. God doesn't give us an answer to every question we ask. Some issues in life are complex and multi-layered, and it takes time, careful study, thinking, grappling to understand these things from a biblical perspective. And even though we may not find an answer to satisfy the mind, when we begin to work towards this Christian maturity, we find ourselves in a relationship with God that moves our hearts and helps us with faith to trust even in the difficult situations. So the difficult verses we come to are these. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so they may gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and ill-treated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and holes in the ground. So it's encouraging for us when we read about the heroes of the faith who were preserved through great trials and blessed by the hand of God. But we also need to notice that the Bible doesn't sugarcoat life. It says all people are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Human life is fragile. It's momentary. And in the Bible, Hebrews is highlighting this, the deprivations of those who suffered for their faith. Now, personally, I hope to be more like the heroes of faith who are gloriously shielded as they're taken through suffering. I hope not to be like those who are found destitute, persecuted, living in caves and holes in the ground, being flogged or imprisoned or put to death. I hope to die peacefully in my sleep rather than being stoned, sawn in two, or killed by the sword. But the reality is many Christians have suffered and have been ill-treated. Over the centuries, many faithful Christians have died from plagues, from famines, tragic accidents, and many other causes. And Jesus said to his disciples very plainly, "In this world you will have trouble." And that's true from our faith perspective, but it's also true from life in general. Each of us will experience troubles. Each of us will find ourselves stressed and tried. I found a very helpful story in Ravi Zacharias' recent book. Some of you may be familiar with it. I wrote it in one of our bulletins. The story is told of a little seaside town where the fog was sometimes so thick that ships were prevented from making it safely into port. The townsfolk decided to build a lighthouse. On the day that the lighthouse was finished, they celebrated with bands playing, bells ringing, and trumpets sounding. The mayor cut a ribbon to inaugurate the lighthouse. That night, a huge fog descended once again. Two visitors who had attended the ceremony said to each other, "The light shines, the bells ring, the horns blow, but the fog comes in just the same." They had missed the point. The lighthouse was never intended to keep the fog from coming in. It was designed to guide ships safely into the harbor through the fog. The Son of God came not to keep the fog from descending, but to help the human heart see through the fog. And I think some who look on Christianity from the outside are like the visitors at the opening of the lighthouse, and they may look at us and say, "These people read the Bible. They come and they pray. Perhaps not today, but they sing their songs." And still the fog comes, still the troubles roll in. And as Christians, we need to think about this experience. Jesus came not to stop the fog from rolling in, but to give us light and guidance when it does. Our faith is not like a charm bracelet that wards off the bad things around us. Jesus didn't come to keep us out of the valley of the shadow of death, but as the good shepherd who would guide us through it. And part of the difficulty for us now is that we are in the thick fog, and we know there are dangers around us. Now, happily as Christians, we have many sunny days, enjoying the green pastures and the quiet waters. But similarly, there are days when the fog rolls in. And we have been experiencing that over recent months. But perhaps it comes to you in other ways. The breakdown of a relationship, the death of a loved one, the loss of a job or a business. Or perhaps a time like today where we see what COVID-19 is doing and how societies around the world are being rocked by all this. When the earth shakes, when the fault lines of society split open and fracture, is Jesus greater? Can he help us? This is where we need to remember the Hebrews, therefore. Jesus is greater. Jesus is supreme. Therefore, pay careful attention so you don't drift. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Therefore, make every effort to enter his rest. Therefore, hold firmly to the faith. Have confidence. Persevere. Be strong. Worship and praise God. Well, what difference does all of this make to us? If COVID-19 was fully beaten, if our world was at peace, if people weren't still losing their jobs or having trouble with the mortgage, if everyone who wanted to could just come and attend church with us today, then we might come back today with a sense of strong rejoicing. And while I'm very glad to be here resuming services, I think this is just one small step on the road to recovery for us. You see, I don't know how it is for you, but I am still reeling. And my tears are still flowing. And my heart is still breaking when I see what's happening around the world. I don't think I'm alone in this. And a part of the key issue for us to think about today is to bring mature Christian thought to the suffering of our world, which doesn't make sense. It is to remember, as we read in Hebrews, as we witness through history, many Christians have suffered, yet they and we are not without hope. We may not understand the reasons the fog rolls in, but we know the light of the world still shines. The good shepherd still leads. The Savior still saves. and the everlasting arms of God still hold us in love. Amen.